Blog Talk Radio.
Young with money, man.
I don't know. I mean, everybody got a vice. Whether it be
And
cigarettes, alcohol, whatever it be.
Ooh, that's a rough bite there, boy.
Hey,
That's a vice grip.
everybody got one. Everybody got one.
Well, even though I touched on that topic, I want to send my prayers and thoughts out to Little Boy's family because, a drug addiction is something serious and it touches probably all our families in some ways. So we know that struggle. So we do have our prayers and hopes out there for you. Moving on to our next topic. Consumers are not impressed with Ronald McDonald's new makeover.
What's his new makeover?
Okay.
Ronald McDonald got a makeover?
Yes, Ronald McDonald has a makeover. For the first time since 2005, McDonald's is faced with a slowing demand in markets. So they took to, we're going to go to social media. So they felt like to go to social media, it was time to evolve Ronald McDonald, I guess, to the new age style of way of dress. The result, the clown who once wore a jumpsuit would now be wearing a yellow cargo pants, a vest, and a stripe, which is a rugby shirt, but it's a polo shirt. For special occasions, he can don a red blazer and a bow tie.
Ronald McDonald
trying. Okay. I've seen it. It's Ronald clean.
Yeah.
Ronald clean.
Sound like the guy.
Ronald clean, man.
Well, of course, people don't like change.
Nothing stays the same, man. Nothing stays the same.
Well, Ronald can't step his game up.
I don't have a problem.
2014, everybody else trying to step their game up.
You don't even see Ronald like he used to.
Well, then you don't.
You don't even
the
see
Burger
like...
King man changed.
Did he? Burger King got it.
The king.
Oh, yeah.
He changed. Why?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Why?
Ronald McDonald can't change.
He still got a red hat.
He still red hair, white face, red lips.
He just clean.
Ronald is matching from head to toe.
All right, Rob.
My boy Ronald.
Put you some wings up, bro.
I thought it was a good move too. James Winston reportedly issued a misdemeanor citation for allegedly shoplifting crab legs from a public on Tuesday.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know. You didn't know.
I'm glad you didn't know. This makes this conversation better.
Yes, it does.
James Winston reportedly issued a misdemeanor citation for allegedly shoplifting crab legs from a public on Tuesday. Winston was given an adult civil citation. According to the civil citation website, it is based on an intensive intervention and a diversion model that provides law enforcement of discretionary tools to divert adults from arrest while still ensuring public safety and holds offenders accountable for their actions. Only law enforcement officers have discretion to issue a civil citation. Eligibility is determined by each participant's circuit stockholders. Successful completion of the program results in the participant not having a criminal record.
So, crab legs, man.
I expect that. The latter part, okay. Yeah.
You don't want to do that
to the man.
Exactly.
Everybody know the man. But come on, man.
That's all the more reason why you got to bring a stealing.
Come on, man. I just seen on the question. He's reportedly saying he forgot.
You forgot to pay for
him? Yeah. How you go through what I believe happened, and we know because we've seen it before, that James Winston, whoever's at the cash register, gave it to him.
Yeah.
They gave it to him. when they looked up and seen him walked out, probably with somebody not affiliated with, draw attention. Of course, they're going to act like they own or he pays for.
Oh boy!
Come but
on. But that why would you put yourself in that situation?
Okay, I got a better question. Would you rather your name be in the news for getting caught with drugs, or your name be in the news for stealing crab legs?
Either way, it's silly, man.
Nah, but I mean, come on, man. This is crazy. Pay these boys, man. The man got to steal food. Pay these boys. He's stealing crab legs.
Hey, that's why I'm inclined to believe he didn't take them. Somebody gave them to him, and he got caught. Cause I don't really. You think he needs to steal them?
No. Cause you're not finna take me. You're not finna put my name in these papers saying I stole it if somebody gave it to me. You're never gonna do that to me. I don't know how we gonna work this. But we gonna
right.
work this
I'm
out.
Yeah,
no, I ain't gonna accept that. I ain't gonna say that. I don't know how we gonna work this out, but we gonna work this out.
You're right, man.
That's all he had in the. But that's all he had was crab legs.
That's
well,
like $30 worth of crab legs and crawfish.
Listen. The man probably made regular visits to this public. Probably the whole team.
Yeah, they give it to him. Give it to him all the time.
This time, somebody.
It went wrong with something.
So you feel like it was set up?
I don't want to say it was a setup, but somewhere along the line, they drew attention to themselves and
they were waiting on
They were waiting on mm-hmm. Come on, man.
Even if, say for instance, it wasn't a cash rush, they usually could just get them from the back and walk out. Nobody don't say nothing because it's who they are.
Mm-hmm.
At this time, something happened.
That manager is a Miami fan. He cannot be a Florida State fan. He can't be.
You're right.
He can't be.
You're right. And on top of that, he got suspended from the baseball.
Yeah, from baseball.
He got suspended from baseball.
Wow.
And I think he got a fine of paying $30 and some community $30 or something like that.
Why?
It was an unnecessary move, especially when you know you just got out of something and they watching you. It was just crazy. I mean,
and this happens repetitively.
Yeah.
To big names.
Yeah.
At Florida State.
It's always at Florida State.
What is this?
I ain't gonna say that. I was just gonna say it could be kind of the atmosphere. But every college got an atmosphere like that in their city, wherever.
Every big college, with a big sports, football,
yeah.
Whether it's football, basketball. That's what I'm trying to say, man. No boys, it ain't nothing new for them to get anything for free.
Right.
There's nothing new to that.
So my question is, how does this man just, if I'm used to getting this for free and I really didn't steal it, why am I taking a rap for stealing it if I ain't steal it?
You didn't steal it.
No, yeah. They gave it to me.
So you do you ain't paid for it.
You stole that.
He know it. The people behind the register knew it.
Yeah. Both of y'all stole it. Both of y'all stole it.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. Both of y'all stole it.
Oh, that's crazy. Well, pray for him.
Yeah, I'm going to pray for James Winston, man. Listen. I was young once. You know what I'm saying? I still am learning. So, you know, we have to go through our bumps and bruises. So just pick yourself up, y'all. Pick yourself up. Ladies, top.
Man, walk out the store with a cart full of groceries. Not just crab legs. Go ahead.
Oh, and on top of that, they got a picture of him holding up crab legs.
Yes.
And a crystal ball.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, man.
Yes, they
do. It's dirty.
Oh, you know this neighborhood. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Next topic. Taco Bell is launching a new upscale taco chain. It's called, yeah, upscale.
Okay.
It's called U.S. Taco Company, and I guess it's going to be two names for the chain, and the other one is Urban Tap Room.
U.S. Taco Company.
U.S.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Urban
Tap
okay.
Room. Like a tap room.
Where they sell tacos.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, it's supposed to be upscale. It says it'll feature a menu of 10 premium tacos, thick cut fries, milkshake, craft beer, and wine. So, I'm still trying to place what kind of restaurant is it.
Okay. I'm still stuck on the name.
Yes.
So what, it's going to be U.S. Taco Company in the nice neighborhood and the Urban Tap in the hood?
I don't understand what the Urban Tap is.
Okay.
And how you associate urban with taco.
Taco.
That don't match.
Okay. And they hoping that we buy into it.
No, man. Keep Taco Bell. We want tacos, we go to Taco Bell.
And sell your upscale tacos at Taco Bell.
I think what's going on is they're trying to, because when I, in the further research of it, says the first location will be open in Huntington Beach, California this summer. And it's kind of being made up against Chipotle.
Wow.
But I guess they're trying to put a little twist to it. But check this twist out. They got a beer spiked milkshake.
You keep that.
It consists of vanilla ice cream, tequila caramel, sauce, chocolate flakes, and Guinness. Sound like straight bathroom.
Okay.
Straight stomach ache.
Oh,
that's terrible. Now, they say it's upscale, but the taco's $4. This is the going price. The taco's $4, and the average meal with a drink should be $12. So I'm thinking it's like a Chipotle, but you get wine and beer.
Man, how do you upscale Taco Bell? This is Taco Bell.
But I understand the attempt, though, because some Chipotle places and Cordova and places like that are popular now.
Yeah.
That's not considered upscale.
I didn't say that.
It's considered upscale if you compare it to
Taco
Bell.
Oh, boy. What are you doing? Oh, boy. Okay. All right.
That's what they mean by upscale Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Upscale.
I mean, what they should have said was an upgrade or more modernized restaurant, I guess, instead of fast food.
So Red Robin and all that, that's an upscale McDonald's.
Yeah.
They consider the McDonald's, I guess you could say. I don't consider that to be upscale, but
I get what it is. It's a little, it's a level above Taco Bell.
Yeah. Would you go to it?
No.
I don't know. I wouldn't turn it down.
I don't go to Taco Bell. Not like that.
Upscale Taco Bell. You won't even try upscale Taco Bell.
They got lobster. They got some kind of lobster taco. And they also have steak lobster. It's more like it ain't just your regular that meat they give you at Taco Bell.
Gourmet.
Yeah, thank you,
man. Okay. Well, if they put one around, I might try it.
That's all you do. I thought it was interesting.
You keep that beer milkshake, though.
Yeah,
that beer milkshake. That ain't no math. My main man, we took the whole end of old Sunday. Donald Sterling was banned for life from the NBA on yesterday by Commissioner Adam Silver. How you guys feel about it?
Still own the team, right?
The owners are right now supposed to be propositioned to vote him out.
Force him to sell.
But if I sell in his mind, I'm still getting money off it. But I guess what else can you do at this point?
Well, how do you ban me for life from being associated with the NBA, but yet I still make money from the NBA?
Right.
That don't make sense.
What you talking about right now?
He just can't go to no NBA event.
Well, they did all they could do. Because you can't just grip him with his ownership. The only way they can do get him out of ownership is they get a 3/4
majority vote
from the owners.
Do you think they're going to get that?
The commissioner was very, very, very positive and convinced that he's going to get a 29 over. And it's 30 owners. So the only person going to be in it is Donald Sturridge.
Well, we know what. I don't know if y'all heard about Mark Cuban. I don't believe he would vote him out.
He done changed.
Did he?
Yeah. So he said he thought what happened by Donald Sterling being suspended was the right move.
Yeah, but voting him out?
Yeah, that's different.
We ain't going to vote him out. He already said that's a slippery slope. You can't based on what somebody say, you don't want to go with
him. That's the only person. He ain't going to be
no
good.
That's the only person that spoke. The only reason why,
because I felt the same way. Until the commissioner came out and said he was banned, and they asked him what they were going to do, and he said he can guarantee that they would get him to sell his team.
Okay.
He wouldn't have stood up there and said that he already hadn't talked to the owners and had some kind of understanding.
But he has no say-so in that. I think that's a false promise. I mean.
That's why I say I don't think he would say it if he wasn't positive. You can't say something like that and come back Because this is a big thing.
It's like the president say, I can guarantee a bill going to pass. You can't really guarantee that.
Still, we got Congress on the side.
Okay.
And we don't know. See, the owners ain't, we don't hear their side yet. It ain't nothing. As far as I know, ain't nobody said I'm a Cuban, right?
Let me ask y'all a question, though. Do you agree with the decision the NBA made?
The banning?
Yeah.
I feel like that was the only thing that it had gotten so big that that was the only thing they really.
They didn't really have a choice. The players were saying they were not to play. Then you had Miami started protesting. It's a whole nother organization.
Yeah.
You're pushing it to the point where all your main attractions are going to say, I'm not playing. They don't care about losing money.
The players don't care about losing money. But the NBA does.
That's what I mean, the players.
I don't know, man. It's a sticky situation. No matter which way it goes, it's tough. I mean, because you're punishing a man because of his opinion.
That's what I was going to go into. The other two players, the other two athletes that we know in sports that are banned, which I really don't agree with, Pete Rose and Lance Armstrong. You know, and that's just a comparison to Donald Sterling, somebody that had a lifetime ban. But it was a lot of questions in the media. And even my son, actually, this Robert even came to me and asked me, he said, well, Dad, that was his personal conversation. And that was inside, you know, a conversation he was having outside of the NBA. Why does, you know, he get in trouble for that? Can't you feel how you want to feel? And I was like, you know what, that's a good point. I was like, because me and you might have a conversation that might be with someone else, they might not take it the same way. But the issue came in, and like I was explaining to him, was it in the tape, he said, I paid them. I'm the one who gives them housing. It went from a personal conversation, even though it's a personal conversation, these are his feelings about his players.
Who are
he ain't lying though. He's telling the truth.
But that's the issue. As far as the NBA saying, that is not their stance as an organization. So you can feel that way. But now that it's out and you said it about the players that's a part of our organization, they pretty much saying we can't be a fan.
And he said it when he said about the ambassador of the NBA almost.
Yeah.
Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
That right there itself gets them involved. You can't just talk about our ambassador like that and say we're not gonna do anything.
You set yourself up for anything anybody says that you don't agree with or that you think is bad for business, now you got to come at them. That's what you set yourself up for.
That's what I was hearing on Sports in the Pandora. But
how is that any different from any other business, though? If you know, I guess I haven't really, I'm picking sides, but I'm going to play devil's
advocate.
Right. How is that any different from any other business? You know, just as, for example, a UPS, you signed a disclosure. You can't talk bad about that company or grade that company or bring any kind of ill will to that company that they feel can hurt them or harm their bottom line. If so, they're going to cut affiliation. I feel like as a business, as a company, that's just the stance that they've taken. They're going to cut any kind of association with this person, you are not banned from any kind of our event. Can't do nothing about you owning the team, but you can't come to our event.
In my personal opinion, this came down to money. This came down to, we saw Mercedes-Benz and I know I saw all the sponsors, but I don't remember who they was. I remember Mercedes because they was a major sponsor. We saw all these sponsors pull out fairly quickly from that team.
Mm-hmm.
So now if the NBA don't stand up, the NBA take the chance of losing sponsors on other teams.
Mm-hmm.
We can't afford to take that risk. Whether we are right or wrong morally about the decision we're making, don't matter right now. Fact of the matter is, we got to keep business.
You messing with my money.
That's it. That's what it comes down to. It ain't a moral
don't
thing.
Mess with my
because
money.
If it was about morals, you can't punish a person for a like or a dislike. You just can't do it. All his players now can decide whether I want to finish out my contract or take the repercussions of breaking the contract. The fans decide whether I want to spend my money to go see this team. It's not up for the owners to say you can no longer own a team that you paid for because of how you feel or what you believe. That's not right.
If it's in some kind of bylaw, when you bought the team, which it has to be for them to be able to do it, they can. You knew that when you signed
up. You knew what you were signing
up for. Going that route, I guess.
Now, in the other way, I don't think they could do anything. They could ban him from games, and now you got this owner out here who nobody want to play for, so eventually he'll probably have to sell anyway. But I heard the family is trying to get the team. His wife is actually trying to get the ownership of the team, sign up for her, but from what I heard, the NBA said, anybody. That's a scary one.
How long has that team been in the NBA?
He's been on for 30, but I think he's been in the family before that.
And one conversation.
Okay, yeah.
Talking about being embarrassed and who you and people calling me. Now you done lost the team for your family.
The conversation really was an hour. And some more came out. That's when I was telling you about him saying like he paid for their house to see some of the players and all that. But the female who reportedly who leaked it, said she didn't leak it.
Yeah, I heard that.
She said she didn't leak it, and she's very saddened by the whole situation.
Right, yeah. I'm going to take that stance if I was up.
What makes this even more crazy, had this been something criminal, they couldn't even use that tape against him because he didn't know that it was being recorded.
Yeah.
You can't use that in court.
Entrapment?
Yeah, it's called something else, but you can't use
it. In California, you have to, you know how a telemarketer call and they have a record, so this might be recorded, but it's just sold out. If you really hear that and don't want to, that's your,
you
get
can
out
say,
right
no,
now.
I don't want this to be recorded. I don't want to take part in this conversation because I don't want to be recorded.
But it's sold out so quickly. That's what they can get away with. And a lot of states, if you don't say that, when me and you talking and you record something, it's not admissible. It's against the law, actually.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's against the law. And California, one of them states where it happened at. So. But because now you can't take back what the world has heard and the impact of the media and the fans and the players, it's kind of hard not to feel like this can happen.
Now, what if he, in turn, turns around and sues the NBA?
Yeah. And this is the thing. This is what they were saying, that they believe that's why Mark Cuban saying it was slippery slope.
Exactly.
Because now when he sues the NBA, he done had conversations with owners, too. So who's to know what may come out in his suit and in court when he said, well, other owners said, I sat down with Cuban had.
That's what I thought when I heard Mark Cuban speaking. He like, wait, hold on.
Because he knew he might be somebody on me.
Wait, we really don't want to go this far.
Yeah.
Because you open up a door, I don't know if you really know what you don't know who didn't have these type of conversations.
But I think that the NBA hand was pushed so hard. Poor Adam Silver, it was his first time. We didn't even know we had new commissioners.
And he had to prove it.
He
had to prove
it. It was almost like Tagliabue when he first took over the NFL with the no-nonsense. You have to come out and set your reign. You know what I'm saying?
So I heard he got a $2.7 million. He's a billionaire, so that $2 million don't hurt.
I heard somebody, donated to the NAACP or something.
Wow.
Well, man.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't really have a comment on that.
I'm sorry. Talk about
backhanded compliment.
What do y'all think? Do you think comparing him to Pete Rose and Lance Armstrong, you think the situation is similar or totally different?
Totally different.
Totally different. Go from player to owner.
I think the only comparison is that they were all banned. That's about as far as we go.
Mayweather won about it.
Who?
Mayweather, De La Hoya, Oprah, and...
Oprah?
Yeah, Oprah and somebody else who's saying they were mind buying the team. You think Mayweather can own a basketball team?
Yeah, why not?
I think he could. He got to stop gambling.
That's what I was saying. Though.
He got to clean himself up. And, no, he can't.
Don't they have to vote him in or something like that?
That's the part. But no, we just talking about
the
thing. I know he would never get it. But this is what I'm going to start. You remember when him and De La Hoya had that fight? If I'm not mistaken, Mayweather called De La Hoya a derogatory name. So he already eliminated. And that's out in the media. You get what I'm saying?
See, this is the thing, man. It's too touchy feely, man. And I understand that, you know, it offended a lot of people, and I understand all that. But, man, hey, this is the country of capitalism.
Right.
Money talks. This man bought this, well, he didn't. Somebody in his family bought this two pieces. I just don't. I don't agree. I don't agree with the extent. I don't think it was the right decision. You're forcing me out of something that you have no right to force me out of. It's like somebody coming in and telling you you got to move out your house because you don't want purple people in your house. The neighborhood don't want you here no more because you don't like purple people. But you bought this.
So what you're saying is it's a type of discrimination that he
gave the same through? Thing he gave.
Well, then, yeah, yeah. That's what he, hey, well, bye.
So now we're going with two wrongs make a right.
Reap what you sow.
Yeah, well, we ain't the judge.
We're not.
We ain't the judge.
It's a sticky situation, but I feel in this situation, the NBA really hand their hands are tied.
Nah, let's move on from that a little bit. I got a question. What do you think the Clippers look like as Oprah about?
That's what I was going to say. Out of the main, Oprah is probably the only one that they would take serious. I mean, like the owner, whoever they are, they would take her serious.
I don't agree with that. I think they would take Mayweather serious. He's a businessman.
No.
He's going into promoting his own fights now.
Listen, if they trying to add diversity, then yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
say again, Lua.
I don't
look. We got Jay-Z in the NBA. We got Usher in the NBA.
No. This is the majority owner.
Yeah.
I don't care. They still own us.
It's like Jordan.
On what?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like they would. But at the end of the day, it really don't matter. Whoever the Clippers go to, whoever buys this team, they got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
Do they really know? They got a nice little nucleus.
They got a lot of work to do to restore
the image.
Yeah.
They got a lot of work to do.
Oh, it might not be that hard because the team is young. And you come in with the right vibe, they'll lead the move. And
the way things work, man, I can't see nobody but a person of ethnicity becoming the owner. I don't know the way it's going to play out.
Yeah. They almost...
Kind of like they were scripted that way.
Yeah. Man, that's enough of Sterling.
Yeah.
We're going to put him down for a while. Close out. The end of knowing, and like I always like to do, I like to give some time. Manatee High School former standout track star Brandon Carnes is lighting up the track at the University of Northern Iowa. A true freshman, he won the 60 and 200 meter at the Missouri Valley Conference Indoor Large Championship in March. That's what's up. His brother out there, too, Breon, used to be the quarterback at Manatee, mm-hmm. Breon Carnes.
Oh, okay.
He went there because his brother was there. That's what's up. Give him a shout out, man. So we're going to keep moving on with our show for today.
Looks like we got a caller. Want to see what he got to say?
That could be our guest. So if that is, I'm gonna go ahead and introduce our guest speaker for today. She's a devoted wife, mother, daughter, sister, cousin, niece, and friend. Educated by life experiences, as well as a bachelor's degree in nursing and a master's degree in public health by way of a prestigious institution. She's an educator by day in the high school systems in Manatee County. All the while finding the time to author her thought-provoking blog page, Moose News of Susanet. She also authored her first novel, Skeletons, which I have a fresh copy of. Allow me the honor, the privilege, to introduce someone on my glad to call a friend, the fabulous, the inspirational author, Tanasia Thomas. Hey, how you doing, Tanasia?
Hey, thank you. What a great introduction.
Oh, thank you. We want to show you we appreciate you. That's what it's all about, Ryan O-T-O-A-D. So how you doing this evening?
I am good.
That's what's up. So
yeah.
We're moving.
Just excited to be on your show.
That's what's up. We're
glad to have you. Glad to have you.
Yes.
Welcome.
We're moving to today's show, which is the woman's perspective. So we're going to pretty much use you as our expertise today. And we feel
all right.
That you are well enough educated and experienced to do it for us. I was talking to you, and you told me you wanted to touch on a topic, and you had wrote a blog on it that I read. It's called Superwoman, which is really a really good blog. And, I'm a fan of you, so I follow your blogs, and I'm reading your book.
Thank you.
If you will, go right into it and explain to us, your kind of standpoint and what your blog was kind of based on and your thoughts on it.
Well, the blog post of Superwoman was kind of prompted from things that I see when talking with friends, when talking with other females, when women ask me how is my relationship with my husband so good. And it's just something that, I feel like it resonates not only in the African-American community, but we see it all around where we as women sometimes we try to be everything to everybody. And that can sometimes get us in trouble, especially within a household situation. And I feel like sometimes some of us, we don't know when it's time to step back and let the man be the man. So that's what prompted Superwoman, where it just talks about, it's all about submission. And submission, ladies, is not a bad thing, okay? To your husband and just submitting yourself and saying you lead and we will follow as a family and as a unit.
That's what's up. I really wanted to get this topic out there, especially from a woman's point of view, because me and Cora had a conversation on this back a while back on air, and he took pretty much the stance you have, and I took another stance. Cora, you want to elaborate on what you think?
Well, first of all, good evening.
Good evening.
Before we go that route, you said something just a minute ago that I want to ask you to elaborate on. You said let a man be a man. What does that mean?
Say that again. I'm sorry. That means let them do what they're meant to do, which is provide, which is lead, which is discipline if need to be, the kids within the household, just to be them, to provide for you, to lead for you, and to you help them as they help you. Because, sometimes we like to take over, and it likes to be, we're used to being independent, we're used to being by doing things by ourselves a lot of times as a female, and then you meet someone who is willing to do all this, but you won't let them. And I can give you an example of that. My husband and I was a nurse when we met, and, a nurse's make good money. And I was not used to somebody saying, like, do you need anything? Do you need money? I was always like, I don't need anything. Like, whatever. I have my own money. Like, I don't need your money. But I had to learn that's a part of him being a man. He's a provider. So I had to take the step back for a minute and just be like, well, you know what? If you want to help me out, that's fine. You know what I'm saying? And kind of let him take on that role, because that's what he felt like a man should do. He should provide. So that's what I mean by letting a man be a man.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you explaining that. For my own personal, for everybody else, for anybody who might have wondered where you was coming from. But my first question to you would be, being that society has molded women into being so independent and self-focused, I want to say. I hope that's not the wrong thing to say, but that's what I'm going to say. What do you find it difficult to go against the grain? Like, what makes you see things the way you do?
I can put it this way. I have learned that even in my letting a man be a man, I'm still a strong woman. You know, that's not downing myself. I'm not putting myself down. I'm not saying that I don't have an opinion, but I've learned, how can I put it, how to not fight. For example, if something's brought to the table and I don't necessarily agree with it, I might say, well, I don't agree, and I give my reasoning. But I also trust my husband enough to make the right decision for us. And if it fails, it fails. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I'm not the person to say, I told you so. I just have to say, well, he led. This is where he led us. It wasn't the right place. So maybe we need to regroup and come back and do something else. And I can just say it's from experience and just, like, talking to him and learning that I am an independent woman, but I'm also dependent because we're a team. And how we look at our life and our marriage is we're a corporation. We call each other the Thomas Corporation. You know what I'm saying? And in a corporation, you have a COO and you have a CFO. But if you're going in two different directions and you're never on the same page, your company is going to fail. Period. So you just have to look at it as what is the best decision for all of us. And when you do that and you take self out of it, as you say, people are for self. If you take self out of it and you put us into it, it becomes a whole different thing, and it's easy.
Deep. I'm going to say. Okay. First of all, I want to say, from my perspective, it takes a strong, self-confident woman to even be able to pull that off.
Yeah.
Okay. My question to you is,
I agree.
Do you think that is missing nowadays? That the willingness to submit to a man, period, is do you feel like it's gone or diminished in some sense?
I feel like it's kind of it's there, but I just feel like, number one, it takes the right man to pull it out of a woman, number one. So I'm going to say I'm about submission, but it has to be to the right person, number one. And then number two, I just feel like, you know, sometimes we get so caught up in, I could do this for myself. I don't need anybody. We all need somebody, and we have to be real about that. And, you know, when I met my husband, I had a son already, but I can say that I'm a woman. I can't raise a boy. So, you know, it's missing because sometimes we as females feel like we can do it all. Like, I could raise my son. I could teach him how to be a man. But, no, something is missing. So, you know, yeah, it's there, but it takes the right person to pull that out of them. You know, so then that falls back on the brothers because you got to be the right kind of man to pull that out of, you know, the woman that you're with.
Great point. I mean, the reflection you're giving us is so deep. I'm finna hit you with something that is going to, it might lighten up a little bit, but it's still a little bit controversial. But I seen you had wrote a blog on possession. And nowadays, you see, I told you I was saying. We see in the younger generation, and even you see it a lot with the older people. I guess they set an example, though, but we go out and we buy these flash cars. We get shoes that we can't even pronounce. That's why I'm not going to try to say the Christina thing because I can't say it. We get, you know, we go, even the men, we go out and buy jewelry and all that and just hook up cars and all that. What is your, like, outlook on that?
My outlook on it is this. And once again, remember I said we run our house like the Thomas Corporation. So our outlook on that, because I can say this is fully kind of what we live by, is if I can't buy it now, then we don't live in the now. Like, we live in, okay, if I see a necklace that I want and it costs $2,000, do I really need it? Number one, that's the first thing I ask myself, do I need it? Okay, so it's a want. And then is it a want that I can wait for? Because how we do is, like, we don't do credit cards. We pay for everything in cash. So do I have $2,000 right now that I could spare on this chain? How much wear am I going to get out of it? If not, then I'm not going to get it. But if it's something I'm like, okay, well, I've been saving, I've been working up for, and I could pay for it, then I could pay for it. But if you think about it, if it's something that you want and you have to wait 3 months to get it, in 3 months you probably would have changed your mind about the necklace anyway. So it kind of lets you keep your money in your pocket. So, I mean, that's how we work. Like, we don't work on, I'm going to go out and buy this right now. You know, I mean, I don't have to have a new car. As long as it has air conditioning and it rides, I'm fine. So I think that, you know, we get to the point where we try to impress people with things, but people aren't impressed with things. They're impressed with the substance of who you are. And I think within our community, we're more so about putting on appearances. And it's like I said in my blog, like, I have students who care more about wearing Jordans and they got beat by Dre's, but you're failing. Like, literally, you have, like, an 8% in my class. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So what is that What is that teaching you? And then you call the parent, and the parent's like, oh, I know they're failing, but they look good. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, who cares that your child, they're a good-looking dummy is what they are. So, you know, I mean, my perspective is if you can't buy it right now, you need to sit back and evaluate, and then if it's something that you feel like you really want and you're willing to wait the time and the months to pay for it, then that's fine. If you want it in 3 months, go get it. If you want it in 6 months when you save your money up, go get it. But probably by then, like I said, you would have forgot about it and said it was just a spur-of-the-moment kind of thing anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. This is Corey again, coming back. Question.
Okay.
We tend to be an opinionated society.
Right.
So my question to you, seeming as though you go against the grain, what kind of flack, I'll say, do you get from friends or associates, being that it seems you go against what, you go against the grain in your dealings when it comes to your relationship and all that? What type of feedback do you get, and how do you handle that?
That's kind of a hard one, because I can say that I think I've made it to the point where people really won't say, like, how they feel to me, because I'm just in my lane, and I stick to my lane. And I really kind of, believe it or not, I really kind of, like, keep to myself. Like, it's, you know, it's me, my husband, and my family. But as far as, like, you know, people telling me how I think is wrong, I don't care about that. And I'm just confident in my opinions, and I know I'm doing the right thing. So I really don't get that, because it's like I said, like, they might say it to somebody else, but they don't say it to me, because if you come in, you got to come correct when you come here. So I really honestly, like, don't get it. But I do have a lot of people that are curious and wonder, like, how do you do so much? Like, how do you balance life and writing? And, you know, at one time when I was going for my master's and I was doing this and I was doing that, and I said, you know, I just look at it as I'm blessed, I have opportunity, and I'm not going to waste a moment of life. I can sleep when I'm no longer on this earth. If I only get 2 hours sleep in a night, that is fine, because I'm working towards my goal and I'm working towards what God has for me. So, you know, I don't know. I really don't get a lot of flack from people. I'm going to be honest with you. That's a hard question, because I probably will after this radio show, but, hey, whatever. So I got to live life, and my life is happy and gravy, so I stay in my lane and worry about that.
Hey, I hear y'all. From what I'm hearing, you mind your business and let other people mind theirs.
Yeah.
That's what it is, you know? That's the way to do it.
Well, I'm going to go off to the left a little bit, and I want to not ask specific questions about your book, Skeleton, but I'm more interested in your process as a writer. Writing a
oh
book.
Boy, okay, my process as a writer. So, y'all gonna think I'm crazy and need medication after this. I'm dead serious. So, a lot of times, like, I'm a dreamer, So a lot of times a book idea for me will start from like a dream. Like I will lay down and I will dream something so real. It's like I'm in it. And when I wake up, I can't come out of it. So the first thing that I normally do is I grab my cell phone and I use like this app called Evernote where I can just like type really fast what I'm thinking, or I have my notepad by the bed and I write down really quick like what I remember from the dream, the details. And then a lot of times, like, my thoughts come to me in, early in the morning, like first thing in the morning, house quiet, I'm the only one up, and I just jot them down. A lot of times in the shower, which is crazy. It's kind of like I'm talking to myself, and I am my character. No, I don't need medication, but that is how it is. I become, it's like I become that, the person that I'm writing about. And then, you know, that's how my stories develop. My blog posts are more riding along. I kind of like to ride my car in silence, or like I have music but it's low in the background when my kid's not talking to me. And you know, the things I want to talk about, they just kind of come, and it's like I said, it's like I see things in my head, so I see what I'm going to say before I type it. And a lot of, sometimes I get ahead of myself because I can't type as fast as I'm thinking, but you know, it's more about those times when I'm able to just sit and think and not be distracted by anything is when my writing process is when it comes to me. As far as writing my blogs, I carry a notebook with me all the time. I use Evernote, and I have the app, so I'll, like, start it. Sometimes if I'm in the car and I'm riding with my family or I have my kids at the park. So there's never a moment when I'm not writing or having a thought about writing. Like, even at work in the middle of teaching, I'm like, oh, that's good. And I'll go and I'll jot something down real quick and stick the note in my purse and go back to what I was doing. But it's like I said, like, really basically my book wrote itself. I started out with this story. I knew the beginning. I knew the ending. And I wrote the ending actually first. And then I went back. But, yeah, I kind of become who I'm writing about, or how I just wrote, you know, when I write stuff on my blog, I first of all think about my message and then just kind of let it flow. It just literally just flows. Like, I don't really have to, not that I don't have to put a lot of thought, but it's not hard for me. Like, I can see something and be like, okay, I'm going to write about that. And it just flows out. Once I start, it just comes.
So
I was going to say, so I kind of write it first, like, by hand, and then I kind of type it afterwards, and it just becomes.
It just comes to life. So basically what I'm taking from it is that there's no such thing as a wasted thought, basically. You know, if it comes to your mind, you know, write it down. You never know where you might need that later.
Correct. Even like small little a sentence, sometimes something so clever will just come in my head, and I'm like, oh, I'm using that later. And I will just jot it down real fast or write it down and stick it. And then when I'm ready to write something, I pull stuff out, you know. But, yeah, it's just like no thought is ever wasted with me. It can be something that just triggers it, and I always take the time to, like, I'm going to write that down. Or it could be a quote that makes me feel a certain kind of way, you know, or something I see on TV. And I might not ever use it, but at least it's there. So, like, I have notebooks and notebooks filled with little jottings of whatever.
What's up, man? It's you honing your craft, which is a beautiful thing. I got the book. I just met Domingos. So I'm on chapter 6, moving into that. Great book so far. Real juicy.
I just told you the man's name. That's it. That's all I'm
going to say. Boom, kill me. Let me get to my point. So all the things you've accomplished so far, which are outstanding, and you, I'm commending you here on Air Force, and I'm very, very, very proud to say you're my friend, and I'm going to support you. Got to put that out there. Who were some people that inspired you before and now? You know, just what are some inspirations around you?
Number one is my grandma, like, always. And if you follow my blog, you know I write a lot about her and how I miss her. Lord knows I wish she was here. And it's just because she always taught me, like, let me tell you something. People can take away everything from you, but the one thing they cannot take away from you is your mind and your education. So, you know, in that, she always taught me to never stop learning, to always just learn as much as I can about everything. And she just taught me to, like, love people. And I think that's part of my problem and why I do stay kind of mind my own business, because love has hurt. Loving people has hurt me, you know. So, you know, she just taught me to be humble, to love God, and to love my family. I would say some of my other inspirations, and he'll probably hurt me for saying this later, is my husband. Because he doesn't like for me to really talk about him, but he is an awesome man. Taught me love, how love should be, you know, what life with a person who is truly your partner, your God-given partner, should be like. I would say my son, who is almost 13, and it's just because, you know, he's had a heart issue from birth, and he just bounces back. And I say that he is God telling me that I am real. Like, this person, the fact that he is alive is saying there is a God. I could say, who else? Oh, she's probably listening tonight, Miss Teresa Scott. She's a nurse practitioner, and she was one of my nursing instructors. Awesome lady, awesome educator, just somebody who I was like, I want to be like her when I grow up, especially in the nursing profession, because, you know, your name is everything. You want to make sure you're doing the right thing, and you want to continue on. Like, a lot of us stop, black ladies, we stop when we might get our CNA, but we stop. Or we might get our LPN, but we stop. But, you know, in seeing Ms. Scott, she taught me, like, you know, I'm a nurse practitioner. I'm here. And, yes, I might be a minority, but, you know, you can do it. Like, if you just keep going and never stop. So I would say her. I'm really not into, like, famous people, inspired. I don't care about that. So I would say, like, those ladies, my husband, my son, and I would say my Aunt Rhonda, just because she showed me that, like, no matter what age you are, you can still be successful. You can start, you know, over. If you want to do another profession, you can always start over and go back. And my Aunt Pat, who was, you know, like a mom to me. You know, I don't know, my family, my mom, I've just had ladies around me and people around me who have shown me love, regardless of what goes on. So I would say that. But, you know, more importantly, my husband, Miss Scott, my Aunt Rhonda, my granny is number one, like number one. Her impact on me is so great. Like, sometimes I say I'm turning into her, but, you know, it's just her. Like, she raised me, and she just showed me, like, this is what a woman should be. Like, you got to take care of your house. You have to do this. You have to do that. And a lot of those things that she taught me makes me kind of old-fashioned, but that's, you know, that's what I was, what I grew up with. So I would say those are people that inspire me.
That's what's up, Doc. You're a very thankful young lady.
Ain't nothing wrong with old-fashioned.
No, sure.
That's true. Old-fashioned is a good thing.
I would want to ask, you know, we jump around a lot on the show.
That's fine. I'm okay.
And we're very opinionated. So in your opinion, I know that, you know, there's only a couple people that are part of Thomas Corporation. But as far as
right.
the role of a woman and man, We've kind of gotten to where roles are meshed, and we've taken on the opinion or the attitude that as long as it's getting done, it doesn't matter who's doing it. It doesn't matter how it gets done, let's just get it done. But
nope.
Why is establishing and maintaining separating role of a man, role of a woman, why is that important in your opinion? And not asking you to go into detail about your personal, but just
right. Overall, it's important. It is important because, first of all, where do children learn about life? The first place they learn about how life, what life looks like and what home should be is from home. So it is important to keep the roles clear because it teaches our sons how to be men and how to be husbands, and it teaches our daughters how to be women and how to be mothers and how to be wives. And if when you start meshing the roles, I mean, you know, you can help each other out, but it's kind of like I said, you have to go back to the man is the head and he's to lead. And, you know, I kind of knew this question was coming, so I wrote some little notes. And, you know, even from, I can say we got the blueprint from the Bible. Like, God gave us the blueprint from Adam and Eve, where he said he took Adam's rib and he made Eve, and Eve was Adam's help, okay? So if we take that blueprint and we take of how it was in the beginning of time, then, you know, there should be no other question of kind of who should do what. And then it's like I said, and I'm going to quote from my blog where I said in Ephesians, like, you know, a husband is the head of the wife. He's the head, and he's the head as Christ is the head of the church. So it is his job to take care of those who are under his care, which means his wife, his kids, and that's what it is, you know. I can say that a lot of times these days we get hung up on, well, I make more money, or, you know, I have my own money, or I have this. Well, really, if you're married and you're together, it's both of y'all money, you know. And I think when people put it into possession-wise and don't think of it as, like I said, we're a partnership, that's where you get away from that because, you know, in a partnership, sometimes you do what you have to, but you still don't forget that that other person has a role in a job within that partnership. So I just think it's important because it's what teaches our children how they should be. When they grow up, they should be able to say, well, in my home, you know, my dad cut the yard, my dad took the trash out, he cleaned my mom's car. And my mom, she made dinner for us. You know, sometimes my dad would help. My mom cleaned the house. My mom, you know, did my sister's hair. My mom did this. My mom did that, or my dad did this. That's where they learn it from. I mean, if you think back to your childhood, that's where you learn it from. You learn what your mom did. You learn what a woman did from your mom. You learn what a man did from your dad. So that's why you shouldn't blur the lines, because it confuses our kids. And then you get girls who say, well, I could do it on my own. And you get guys who say, well, I'm just going to, you know, hit it and run and do what I do.
Yeah. Well, we don't have sound effects on this show just yet, but just know I'm subliminally pushing the standing ovation button.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice to hear a female, not saying that it's not out there, I'm just saying that it's nice to hear
right.
That I can accept, I don't want to say the liberation, but I'm going to say it that way, but yet still find, quote unquote, my place in my relationship.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I can say that, and I don't want the ladies to jump on me and be like, you just messed it up. I had to learn this. Like, this did not come, you know, just instantly. I had to learn it. Like, I had to learn, like, you know, wait a minute. Why are we in conflict? We're in conflict because I'm worried about me being right when really I couldn't compromise. You know what I'm saying? And I just think sometimes as ladies, when we have been the person to do it on our own, we kind of get so used to that, so we can't see, like, when we have a goal mind sitting in front of us, and we would run that person away. And it's like I said, in my blog, if you are a female and you're not letting the man be the man, and keep in mind, I keep saying it has to be the proper man that is showing you what a man should be, then he will find another home to be a man in. And that's just the reality of it. So, you know, and not saying that I got to stroke his ego or I have to do this, but you also have to know your place. And, you know, you can get, as the quote says, you can get more flies with honey than with, you know. So you just have to be hey. I mean, it's true. You could just, you as a female, you have to know how to adjust. And there's ways you can get what you want. It doesn't have to be you standing in front of them with your hand on your hip and rolling your neck and telling them, you better do this or else. You can be like, honey, listen, you know, I was thinking about this. You know, you don't have to decide on it now, but just think about it. And then, you know, maybe he disagrees, you put it down. Maybe you revisit it later. And then eventually, they probably will come over to your side. So I just believe in, we don't have to fight. We could just be like, okay, we can agree to disagree and be that alone and squash that subject, and we'll come back to it another time. Now might not be the time. So it's like I said, I had to learn it because, you know, I really didn't have a whole lot of people, like, to show me and say, like, this is how it should be. But I had to learn it, and I learned that through communicating. Like, with my husband, he would be like, well, I don't like it when you say this. So, you know, and you try to adjust yourself and just see, and it works out so much better this way, ladies. Let the man be the man. You be the woman. You help him. You be there. You stand behind him. It's so much easier. Trust me. So much easier.
I'm going to give
you
it.
You got a man standing up giving you that ovation.
But what I'm taking from this is that, you know, submission does not mean losing oneself.
Yeah.
You know, it's not necessarily,
correct.
It's not a bad thing. Society has put a bad spin on submission.
Correct.
You know, submission is you have no say so, you know, it's my way or the highway. That's not submission.
Yeah.
No, it's not. That's not submission. What I wanted to ask you about was something we, us three, we heard last weekend, church this past Sunday. We went to Man's Day in Macedonia. Had a great time, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things the pastor was talking about was separation in the household.
Right.
You know, separation in the household as far as, you know, the man having his space, the man caves, and, you know, the lady caves, and, you know, I'm in this part of the house doing my thing, you in that part of the house doing your thing, and, you know, how, you know, you living in the same house with a person, but at the same time, you know, it's almost like you're living two separate lives. You know, what is your opinion on that and how it affects a marriage, you know, in a house, you know, a home, as a, you know, a household all in itself?
I can say that I believe that, you know, you're, honestly, you can have, let's say you can have friends outside of your marriage and your household, but your partner should really be like your best friend. That's the person you tell your secrets to. That's your confidant. That's the person that you know no matter what, good, bad, ugly, cripple, crazy, this person loves me and they're going to be there for me. So I don't believe in that. Like, I believe we all, yes, we all need our personal time. We all need our time where we might want to go to lunch with a friend, or we might want to, you know, go hang out with a friend, go play basketball with them, watch a movie with them. But I feel like your first priority is your household, and if you're not friends and getting along with the person in your household, you don't need to be trying to go get along with somebody else. Like, we need to be working this thing out. I don't believe in doing that. Like, I feel like we can be parallel. We could be in the same room, and you could be playing your game, but you might be playing your game, but I'm going to be sitting beside you writing my book, you know, or doing my homework, or, you know, listening to what I want to listen to, or doing whatever. I just feel like you can have your life and be parallel, but, you know, in all honesty, when you marry, y'all are one person now. So if it's something that's taking you outside of your duties and what you need to do in your house, then no. Like, it should not be that, because that separation makes bigger separation. And it should just be, like, you're focused on each other. You know, I mean, most of us work. Most of us are on jobs 8 hours a day. But after 8 hours a day, you mean to tell me, like, you want to see your husband, you want to see your wife, and you want to be like, I want to talk to you and unwind about my day. I don't want to call Jerry and talk to Jerry about my day. You know what I mean? You know, so I've never understood that. I don't get that, because I just feel like my spouse is my best friend. Like, I would take him over anybody. And it's so funny that you say that, because I have this joke that I say to people, right? And I have, you know, people, or sometimes my coworkers will be like, you don't want to go anywhere with us. And I was like, okay, so I have to go out with you. I got to talk to you. I have to pay my own bill, pay the check when it comes. First is, I can go out with my husband. He already my best friend. I like him. He not going to get on my nerves. And he going to pay the check. I'm picking Mr. Thomas every single time. You know what I'm saying? And that's a joke that I tell them, and they crack up laughing, but I am dead serious. Like, I'm going to pick him every single time, because I have great conversation, a nice, cute partner, and I don't have to pay the check. What choice is there, you know? So, I mean, that's my feelings on that. I don't believe that.
You win.
I mean, that's the truth. Think about it.
Yeah, it is. It really is. That is the truth. This is my question for you. Being that I know you just have sons, so I wanted to know the dynamic of raising sons as a female, and the dynamic you allow your husband to have. And do you see a difference? To be kind of controversial.
Oh, how did I know I was going to get asked this question?
Do you think it's better to allow your husband to guide the boys, or do you think you need an input also, or vice versa?
Okay, I'm going to tell you. The boys are, that's his boys. I let him deal with that. I'm not a man. I'm not a male. I don't understand how they think of what goes on in here. I don't have, you know, I do have, women have testosterone, but we don't have as much as you guys have, so I don't know. Like, I let him handle that. And there is a difference, because I promise you, like, I'm not the disciplinarian in my home. I can sit back. Literally, this is what I do. I go, you want me to call your daddy? That's all I got to say. One sentence. And they are, like, perfect little angels. And there is a difference, because, like I said, my son will be a teenager soon, and he's coming up on where he kind of like, whatever, you know, like he want to do a little talking back. When daddy's home, mm-hmm. it's different. It is a complete difference. Even riding in a car. Riding in a car with me, they talking, they won't hush, they arguing in the car with him, silence. Like, they're good. They're not fighting each other. They're not arguing about anything. So there is a difference. And, no, I let him... their men, their boys, do your thing. I mean, I will sometimes be like, okay, well, a month punishment is too much. How about a week? You know what I'm saying? I kind of try to tender it down some, but I really, like, and especially not in front of my kids, I would never be like, you're wrong or you shouldn't do that. Like, never, ever. Ever, ever. Ever, ever. He handles that, and I hush my mouth. Period.
You ban a thousand with a 3-yard
home. All right, I'm gonna give you a platform. I'm gonna give you the stage for a second. I'm painting a picture for you. You're standing in front of a room full of young ladies who are future business leaders, as well as homemakers. You have 2 to 3 minutes to make an impact on their lives. What do you say to them?
Oh, man. That's a hard one. I would tell them that as women, I know what they see in the world, and what they see on TV is Beyonce gyrating, and they see Rihanna in her bathing suits, and they see... somebody twerking or booty shaking. But what I would tell them is, number one, that is not what you have to do. Real women are educated. Real women are smart. Real women are have their opinions. Real women are strong. And real women cover themselves. They keep themselves. And they don't have to be on every scene. They don't have to be in every club. They don't have to be shaking their butt somewhere, because real men don't want that. Period. That's all I got to say.
That's it.
And it will all come. But you don't have, you do not have to follow the status quo, because real men don't want the status quo. They want somebody they can take home to their mother. They don't want Rihanna with her booty shaking in her bathing suit. They want a woman that they can say, "Mom, this is my wife. This is a person that I want to be with." You know, and that's just what it is. And really, the platform, I have it on a daily basis. I have this discussion on a daily basis. And, you know, people don't understand why. Like, a lot of my kids, I tell them, I was like, I don't like Beyonce. And they're like, why? And I tell them, because that's not what you should be aspiring to be. That's not who you should be idolizing, somebody who has to get on stage and gyrate. Real singers, Anita Baker, Whitney Houston, they never had to gyrate. They opened their mouths and words came out and a melody came out, and you praise them and they sold records. So you don't ever have to sell yourself and your body and sex to be anything. You hit your books,
keep pushing,
and you will be whatever you want to be. But don't ever feel like your body is going to get you anywhere, because body starts sagging and you get old and all of that shaking and gyrating. If you don't have the money to pay for the plastic surgery, you're going to be horrible looking anyway. But intelligence can never be taken away. It can never be given up. And you will always be smart forever. And that's what I tell them.
I need to take you with me to work.
Very well said. I mean, because the sad truth is, a lot of, not saying everybody, but there are a lot of young women who don't get that message at home.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And that's important.
Basically, what you're saying is, you know, that old fashionedness that you were talking about earlier.
That's right.
That's what a man is right now.
Yeah, that's a good fact.
Because let me tell you, all these little belly shirts, I go off. Like, I'm like, I don't want to see that. And the kids don't understand, but I tell them, I was like, my grandma taught me, like, you don't show your stomach. Your stomach is for the beach. And even at the beach, you need a cover-up.
Yeah.
So you're not showing anything anywhere. Like, that's for home. You leave that at home. So, and I do get that. Like, you're so old-fashioned. That's why I'm like, I don't care. I just don't.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of glad I don't have girls, because I don't know.
That's what's up. That, and that's what they need to hear nowadays. They need to hear that from somewhere. If they're not going to get it from home, they got to get it from somewhere. So I'm happy to hear that there's an educator out there that is giving out that message freely, you know. Then I don't think, a lot of times, I think we a lot of places, I'm not going to, like you said, Corey, not everybody, but in a lot of cases, we dropping the ball on our children, and we setting them up for failure. So,
yep.
You know, if you're not getting that home, I'm glad to hear that we're getting it from school.
On that school note, being that you are educated and you are in the school system, I guess I would just want to ask, you know, what do you think of the current state of the adolescent teen, the now teenage generation, compared to, say, maybe 10, 16 years ago? I ain't going to go no far. When we were in high school.
You trying to tell everybody's age.
I know, right?
I feel that our youngsters these days are, I call them the instant generation, because to them, you ask them a question, they don't have to memorize those long proses from their English teacher. They can pull out their iPhone and look something up on Google. They don't have to remember the same stuff. And I just feel like they're an instant generation. Like, they don't see the need for hard work. Why can't I have a Porsche now? Why can't I have a mansion now? Why can't I have, you know, Lil Wayne was a rapper and he had it. I could have it at 18, or I could have it at, they don't see the value in hard work. They don't see that hard work gets them anywhere. They just feel like, okay, if I'm doing bad today, well, how about extra credit? Or how about, you know, you just give me something. And it's crazy how I describe it, and don't get me wrong, I was born in the 80s. I call it 80s baby syndrome because that's a blog post for you. It's called 80s baby syndrome, and I say that because I feel like this generation is the give-me generation. Like, you owe me. You're my mom. You're my dad. You owe me this because I'm your child. I should have Jordans. I should have a car to ride to school. I shouldn't have to work for anything. Like, I come to class, so I should get an A, right? And it's like, no, like, you have to work for it. I did not get a master's degree not working. I took my computer on vacation. I didn't get sleep. I didn't have eat, and I did what I had to do. And I don't think they see that. Like, they're so used to asking and receiving until it's kind of like, give me, because. They don't feel like us, like we had to actually work and earn what we had. They just feel like they're supposed to have it all now. And I just feel like, you know, I don't know. I know there's awesome kids out there, and I'm not going to say, like, most of my kids are awesome, and they work hard. But then there's those few that are just like, you should give me an A just because, like, I'm here, right? And I just feel for them, and my heart goes out to them because they're in for a rude awakening, because life is going to slap you in the face. And you're not going to know what to do with it, you know, and it falls back to kind of what we said. Some of it is parenting. Some of it is because at home they get what they want, and they're not taught that you have to work. You know, in my house, my five-year-old works. I go, here's your little rag. You need to go around and dust. Help mama. You know, you want your little race car. You got to work for your race car. Like, that's not free. And, you know, yeah. But a lot of kids aren't taught that. What'd you say?
Well,
no, I said bring them up in the way you would have them to go. I'm sorry.
Exactly. And okay, this is one of my. You might think I need medication again. I don't like teach my kids Santa Claus. You know why? Because I teach them, like, there's no man at a factory making toys. Mom and daddy go out and we buy this stuff, so you need to cherish it. You need to think that our hard-earned money went into getting this for you. And that's just how it is. So I don't put from Santa. I put from Jesus. He helped your mama go to work. Santa Claus had nothing to do with these presents. And you know, that's the truth. Like, Santa Claus said, don't have anything to do with this.
You know, I'm gonna be honest. I'm gonna be honest. A lot of the answers that you're giving right
now—they're you.
I mean, it sounds like I'm talking to
yourself.
Yeah, kind of. You know, that's why we were laughing.
We were laughing because you had told me this was just recently.
Exactly.
You was like, why are you talking about Santa Claus?
No, man, we don't do Santa Claus, man. Who is Santa Claus?
That's right.
But I gave you the platform to speak to the future. I'm going to flip the script a little bit again, and now I'm giving you the platform to speak to the present. You're in the room of your peers, and people who have already shaped their opinion and who have already determined the way they are going to go. But you have they've opened themselves up to come and listen to you present a different opinion. What
okay.
would that opinion be? What would you say to your peers right now who are that microwave generation, who are training up our future to be microwave too?
Okay. I would definitely tell the parents and my peers that one of the things that we have to get away from in the, especially the African-American community, is worrying about looks and what my child has. And, oh, when my child go out, they look good. Or they're, I would say take away all that mess. Take away that TV. Take away that Xbox. Take away those Beat by Dre's. Take away even the music, number one, and sit down and talk to your child, okay? See what's going on with them. See what's really in their head. Because a lot of times, like, kids come to me with stuff, and I'm like, well, have you talked to your mom and dad? And they're like, no. And I was like, well, that's the first thing you need to do. The second thing I would tell them is to always make education first. Like, in my house, I don't care if you ever watch TV. I don't care if you ever play with a toy, but you are going to read this book and you are going to get your math and you're going to get your assignments. And number three, I would just say our children need discipline. Like, they need a schedule. They need consistency. They need for things in life to be expected. Like, you know, and number four, just don't let them feel like they run it because, you know, I don't know. Even okay, I'll give you an example. You cook dinner, and your child says, "I don't like broccoli. I'm not gonna eat this." We don't have that at the Thomas Corporation because you don't buy food. Do you buy food? Yeah. No. Well, then you eat what's there, and you're gonna try it. And if you just decide that it's not something for your taste, because I understand we all don't like stuff. But at least you've tried it. But you're not going to tell me, like, I'm not going to eat that because I don't like that. I want cereal. No. Mm-hmm. And then number five, I would say go back to the number one rule of family first. Like, everything you do, eat dinner with your kids, eat breakfast with them in the morning, because that's how you learn them and that's how you learn what's going on to them. And just talk to them. Like, take away all that other stuff, you know. You know, with my children, like, they don't have to have TV. I'm going to be honest. My 12-year-old, he doesn't watch TV. Like, he probably gets 2 hours. I'm like, okay, time for it to go off. And they're on a schedule, so they know what to expect. Like, I don't have to tell them it's time to take a bath. They know, like, 7:30, up, Mom, I got to get in the shower. And that's every single day, Sunday through Saturday. You know, so we have to get back to the old ways of raising our kids and doing what Grandma taught us. Not what necessarily Mama taught us, because some of us have young moms, but what Grandma taught us and how Grandma was. And we just cannot be afraid to be a parent. Like, I teach my kids, I'm not your friend. Like, I love you, but I'm your mom. And we don't play with Mama. You can talk to me, you can come to me about anything, but I am not a toy, so you don't play with me, and I'm not your friend. I'm not your friend. I'm your mom.
Why are you talking about old get away crack, stop... right?
I mean, for real, yeah, because I can't be your friend. When I'm your friend, then you start thinking of me as your peers, and you don't remember where your manners should be. So I am your mother. I'm not your friend. So you can't talk to me as you would. You can talk to me, but you can't talk to me like I'm your homegirl. That's not going to happen.
Structure, you gotta have that structure, and when you don't have that structure
right.
in the home, it's not gonna work. Like you said, being a friend, I think that's where our generation lost it. Maybe because of how we got it coming up, you know, like, oh well, you know,
right,
you know what I'm saying, I'm not gonna be so hard,
mm-hmm.
you know, I want my kids to be able to feel like.
They can have an opinion.
We
didn't have
no.
No,
we had no opinion.
We had no opinion.
Mama waited that way. That was your opinion. Your opinion was mine.
Your mind.
That's
where
it
lived. And it better stay there.
If I thought about it, you was thinking that.
If I think I saw you have an opinion, I'm a back in. So
there you go.
In a way, you know, it's our fault. I take full responsibility, even though, you know, I don't really play that with my kids either. I blame our generation for the state that the youth are in
mm-hmm.
nowadays.
Well, yep.
You know, mainly because we weren't there. You know, we took that stance of just not do nothing in a lot of ways. And I'm blown away by some of these young men and women I see, you know, touching on that thing you were talking about as far as the Give Me generation, how you can show up to work.
Mm-hmm.
You showed up to work. You might not have been on time, but you was there. Mm-hmm. I ain't got to work while I'm here. I ain't trying to work hard. You know, I'm here. That's enough to get my check.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that blows my mind. And I sit at times trying to figure out, like, where did that come from? Where did that come from? Where did we lose the sense of earning a dollar or earning a living? You know, we just, I don't know how we dropped the ball on them, but I feel like we dropped the ball on them. You got an opinion on that?
I don't know. I just think it's kind of like you said, some of us, you know, our parents went hard or our grandmas went hard, and some of us, we just felt like, you know, that we wanted to let up. But I also feel like a part of it is, oh, I'm going to step on a lot of toes when I say this. A part of it is mama and daddy. Okay. Well, part of it is mama and daddy trying to have a life. And mm-hmm. with that being said, it's like, I'm going to go to the club with my daughter. I'm going to go to the club with my son. I'm going to party with them. I'm going to hang out with them. I have, and I don't mind telling my age, I'm 33 years old. And I would never, ever, and my mother would never, ever, say that she's going to party with me, like go to a club with me. And I just feel like our parents, some of us in our generation, we're so used to, like you said, we got to be their friend. Therefore, we give them when they're not deserving of it. Because we're so worried about what other people have to say. And I could use this example. Let's just say you have a child, and they're not doing what they're supposed to do in school, right? But you have them dressed, like I said. They're dressed in their Ralph Lauren. They wearing polos and their Jordans. I'm the type of mom where I would be like, you're not wearing those Jordans. I'm going to go to Walmart, get some Bobos, get you some the little jeans they got in there, and some white T-shirts. You can wear that until your grades come up. And I don't care what people say, because I know that – I know what I have. I'm secure in what I have, and I'm secure in my ability to provide for you, but I am not going to condone you going out to these people's school and acting like you don't have any sense. And I just feel like people are so about appearances nowadays until they don't care about the hard work. They don't care about the child proving themselves or doing what they're supposed to do. They just care about people on the outside looking in. And if your house is raggedy on the inside, it's going to come out anyway, so you might as well handle your business and do what you got to do.
What do you say? You say amen when you say
amen. Amen. It's the truth. Corey, you had something you wanted to present to the nation.
Yeah, I mean, we've been asking you questions for the last hour or so. So I wanted to give you the opportunity, if there be any, to see if you had any questions. Or the group, the collective, or one of us.
Oh, I have this one ready. Okay. So as men and as fellas, I would say if you could talk to our young girls today, not necessarily even our young men, but our young girls today, and truly just, like, be honest with them and tell them about life and what men genuinely want, what would you tell them?
You're passing it off. Can you ask for it?
You want me to go for it?
Go for it.
Honestly, my first thing would be to erase everything that you've learned up to this point. Don't take any of that into consideration, because most of what you, if not all, most of what you've learned to this point is not the truth. You pretty much summed it up for me. I mean, like I said, a lot of your answers matched identically to what I would have said. But most importantly, get to know who you are.
You know what I mean?
You can't present something to someone that you don't. I can't give you a box for some minute and I don't know what's in the box. What am I giving you?
Yeah.
I think that young women right now are so focused on the people that they want to attract and the people that they look up to that they don't take the time to realize who they are. So get to know who you are. Get to know what makes you different. What makes you special? What is that thing about you that makes you you? And then let that be your life. You know what I mean? Like, cover up. It ain't, like you said, it ain't in the shaking. It ain't in man, I'm in. And they like what they like. But men like that behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
If I see you out in public and that's you, it might look good, but I'm going to let you be that in public. I'm going to leave you standing right there. I don't want that. So I guess to sum it all up, I would just say, most importantly, get to know yourself before you try to learn anything about a male.
Great point. I think I will kind of piggyback what you said, and I would tell them to not to try to grow up too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, slow down. Enjoy your childhood, enjoy your life. You know, get an education. Develop your own mind and what, like you said, Corey, what you think about yourself. Gain that self-confidence in yourself. You know, don't worry about your curves and your clothes and, you know, boys.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I say boys because even a man, a grown man, if a grown man is attracted to a child, he's a boy.
Yeah.
Right.
So, boys. I would probably just sum it up with that. You know, this world moves fast. And before you know it, you can get caught up in it real quick. Slow down. Don't try to grow up so fast. Enjoy life. Enjoy your childhood. Learn the things, the lessons that you need to learn in life before you, you know, to be considered an adult before you try to emulate an adult.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
And I'm going to catch hold to this pig, too, and pick it back up. Y'all, pretty much, I get the opportunity on a daily, on a basis in my internship to talk to the younger generation, adolescent female. And I shoot straight from the hip. I tell them, look, I was your audience, and I was a boy. And I know what I want. And I didn't mean y'all knew what good. It really, the truth of the matter is I didn't mean you no good. And if you really want to figure it out, the one I wanted was the one I never had back then. Because back then, that was one out. You don't know right now. The main thing for the younger girls to get is that most boys don't know what they want. They're going to grow along with whatever society saying is cool. We talked about this before, me, Corey, and VJ. We talked about this. And a lot of times you got with girls just to tell somebody else you got with them. You didn't even get with them because you liked them.
Yeah.
And this was our mentality growing up in high school. And this is the thing I'm trying to get through to them now being in the same spot. Like, these dudes, they ain't thinking about that right now. They don't mean you no good. Get what you need to get now. Take care of yourself. So later on when you figure it out for yourself, as Corey said, you'll be good.
Right.
You be that dime everybody talking about.
Yeah, because think about it. If we think back on it, all the dimes we were with was the one we didn't get.
That's true. Very, very true. That's very true. And all of those are, like I said, good points. And it's crazy because I can say that, you know, a lot of times I get asked the question, like, do I regret leaving nursing to be a teacher? And every single day I say no, because if I can change, like, one of my kids thinking, and one of my girls especially, and just let them know, you know, one thing I always tell them, like, I'm from Palmetto. Like, I grew up in Palmetto on 26th Street, and I said, you know, if I can do it, you can do it. Like, you can be anything and anybody that you want to be. But the first thing that you have to get in your head is you're not going to let anything stop you. You know, and I just tell them, like, it's not about these boys out here. I said, because half of the time when you go back to your, you think back to your 10-year high school reunion, if you went, the people who were the flyest people are the raggediest, half of the time, the raggediest people now. And I tell them, I'm like, you can't see it now because you're so young, but one of these days, like, you will look back and you'll be like, Miss Thomas told me that these people would be raggedy. And I, you know, and I said, it's absolutely true. And, you know, I just tell them, like, it's like you said, you know, don't let your area and you just trying to grow up and be somebody who you're not make you make a huge mistake in life. And one more thing, I want to know your opinion on, how can I put it? I see this a lot of times with young boys. They want to be thugs, and they follow these rappers, Lil Wayne, Rick Ross, without actually researching and understanding, like, who these people are and what their background is. So what would you tell our young men out here who are trying to be somebody who they are not or who thinks that thugging is the way to go?
Oh, that's a tough one. And I say that's a tough one because I'm more inclined to believe the younger boys are not so much looking at Ross, Wayne, whoever. They're looking at the men that are closest to them who are looking at Ross and Wayne and all of them. I mean, so it's kind of hard to tell a young boy who has brothers, uncles, or a daddy who is living a certain lifestyle that's not the correct lifestyle. My opinion is going to last for 20 minutes, where his life is something different. You know what I mean? So it's kind of hard, but if I had the opportunity and if I felt they would listen, I would just tell them. You know what I mean? The same thing that I would tell the girl, man, search yourself. It doesn't matter, even if that is the life that they are living and they got what they got because of the life they're living, does that mean you have to? You see the glamour, but you don't see the other side. You don't see the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You don't see the dirt. There's another way to go about getting all that. Yes, it requires work. Yes, it requires time. Yes, it requires effort. It requires all that, but one thing about it, can't nobody take it from you.
Right.
Once you get it, it's yours. You can sleep good at night. You know what I mean? They don't sleep. But I think more so, it will be difficult for the reason that I gave. I think it's become more of a culture thing than it is a generational thing.
For me, I would tell them to do their research. You know, these same rappers, Lil Wayne, Fly, 2 Chainz, all these gentlemen have college degrees.
Yeah.
But they not gonna rap about that. Cause don't nobody wanna hear that on a rap song.
Correct.
So they're not gonna rap about or tell their stories about their accomplishments, their positive accomplishments. They're gonna tell you they sold dope and they were pimps and they bought bottles at the club, you know, and they spent stacks at the strip club. You know, they're gonna tell you all about that all day long.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not gonna tell you, you know, that even with all of that, that they still realize the importance of an education. And made sure that they got that education, you know, as a backup to their forefronted success.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You got to get that education. No matter what you do, you can be the best rapper in the world. You know, that's going to go away one day.
Yeah.
And you're going to need that education as a fallback, a backup plan.
I see it similar to you guys. I mean, I feel the same way. I also believe, like, for us, for instance, we had those exemplifications of men around us. We've seen that. Nowadays, I can tell the younger generation, but if I'm not exemplifying what I'm saying, it ain't going nowhere, no way. We have to beat out the masses now and get back to the point where it's more of Uncle Knows. Notoriety males in the neighborhood where you have an example like that. Because the example now, like Cora said, is the grown man want to be Ross. So that's what the generation is seeing, so they're following it. So if I come and I'm the only person around here still dressing like Fresh Prince, Will Smith, ain't nobody listening to you, corny dude.
Yeah, cornball.
But if you see me succeeding in what I'm doing, and I get enough of me around me, then we can take back our generation. Because that's the problem right now. That's really our problem.
Right.
And I think that's the biggest issue is we got to get the grown men.
Yeah. And I don't know if you're done.
No, go ahead. I'm done.
We tend to say very frequently that these kids, we always say these kids nowadays, these kids.
What about us?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What do we expect the kids to be where we ain't been? You know what I mean? Like, stop blaming other people and stuff. If you were living
That's
it,
true.
You wouldn't have to look at somebody else to point out their wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't approach it from you doing something wrong. You would approach it from, hey, why don't you try it this way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right.
That's true.
That's true.
Okay.
Very, very
you
true.
Got us on the hot, you got us on the hot seat. You finished with us, or?
yeah, I'm done. Those are the only two things, like, you know, that those are the only two kind of things that were on my mind. But, yeah, I'm done with my questions.
So with that, I mean, we're very, very appreciative to you coming on, giving your opinion, your perspective. It was very insightful. And like I said, I'm a fan. I'm going to finish this book, and I'll be back with you because I'm going to be talking to you. And I'm going to continue to follow you. See, you got anything?
Yeah, I will say same thing. Like, I appreciate you coming on and sitting down and talking to us. I would like to also thank your husband for allowing you to take time out of your family life.
Yeah, that's what's up.
To sit down with us and talk. I appreciate that.
Oh yeah, he's keeping the kids away.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
I
just want to say thank you for taking time out of your busy day to join us and answer our questions and, you know, give us thought-provoking questions as well. I wanted to, real quick, your book, Killing, right, is already out now, or you have a book signing coming up, don't you?
How do we get it?
I have a book signing on Saturday.
Plug your book.
On Saturday, May the 3rd, this Saturday, from 5 to 7:30, I will be at the Celebration Center in Palmetto. It's across from Palmetto Library at Sutton Park, doing a book signing. I will have books available. We accept cash, PayPal, check, whatever you have, we can take it. Books will be there. I'll be signing books for people, allowing people. I'll have a time set aside where people can ask me questions, talk to me about the book, and, you know, have some hors d'oeuvres for you, a little wine for some people if that's what they would like. And I just would like for everybody to come out. And they could also check out my blog that we've been talking about, www.tanasiathomas.com, and I spell it out for you, TanaSia, because I know a lot of people won't get that right. And I would just like to say, Skeletons is a book about, I call it Skeletons, the story of love, lies, lust, betrayal, all those things you watch the Housewives for. It's right in my book. And it is not what you expect. It is to show that we all have skeletons in our closet. Sometimes they come back to haunt us. But, you know, love and the truth will always prevail, and that is the point about it. You have to go out and get it. If you would like a signed copy, you can always get it from my website. I ship it to you, and I'm local. If you write that you're local, you don't have to pay the shipping, and I will bring it to you or meet you somewhere. And I just appreciate you guys having me on the show. It was very, very enlightening, also from your perspective, and, you know, just allowing me to put my opinion out there, because sometimes as writers, we feel like nobody's listening. But, hey, I just learned that I have some new fans, and hopefully I have more people following me and remember that I'm local. I'm from here. I rep Palmetto, P-Town, and, you know, everybody just come on and support because that's what it's all about. We don't have many people, young people our age, doing what we do. These fellas got a radio show, and every time they on, I try to shout them out on my Facebook and tell people to listen. So, you know, that's what it's all about, supporting each other.
Appreciate that.
That's
love.
It.
Yeah, we appreciate
your love, your support. I know you've been following us. I've been following you. We've been following you as well. We wish you can continue to set whatever you dream of doing. We know you got it because God is leading your path. So, hey, we're going to walk this thing together. We'll meet each other
Amen.
At the top, and we'll hold hands and get down. That's what we're going to do. That's how we're going to handle that.
Yep.
And when you get to Oprah, you remember this name.
When I get to Oprah, I know who to remember. That's right. That's right.
There you go. Well,
yep.
So thanks again for, you know, joining us. Thanks for your comments. Thanks. Just thanks and keep doing your thing. We're going to keep following you like Derek said and come back when you're ready.
Yeah.
All
yeah,
right.
I'm going to hit you up. I'm gonna hit you up on Facebook and some writer pointers. I need some pointers,
yeah.
You know, somehow that got some thoughts that you wanna put down too, so you know.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, I thank you guys for having me on and I really, really appreciate it. And like I said, feel free to hit me up again. I will come on again and we can have our deep conversations about life and everything else.
That's what's up. Appreciate it again.
All right,
guys.
Thank you. Yep, good night.
Y'all. Night. Y'all be on the lookout for Tanasia Thomas, the author. That's Tanasia.Thomas. Wait a minute. That's right. Tanasia.Thomas. Am I right? .com?
Hey, hit it up on Facebook.
Hit it up on Facebook. I'm trying to plug up, but I don't know what I'm doing, so don't take me no time. But I can't tell you this much. I'm 6 chapters into the book, and it's juicy. It's good. It's good. I can tell you that.
Yep.
That's good.
It's good to see somebody. I won't even say somebody. I mean, it's good to see the hometown step out on a dream.
Yeah.
And go against the grain. I mean, just think of the comments you would give. Hey, I'm about to write a book.
Right?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Especially around here.
I applaud you for having the courage to go ahead and do what it is you wanted to do, regardless of what anybody might say. I applaud that. And I wish you continued success. To anybody who might be listening, find that thing that you like to do.
Mm-hmm.
We all have something. We make a living one way, but we also have hobbies that may not be included in our means of survival.
Mm-hmm.
Your thing. Step out on that.
That's a good point right there. Survival.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have an outlet, man. I'm a firm believer that you got to have some type of outlet. Usually that outlet it tends to be artistic. But there are other things too. Work out. You know, do something.
Yeah.
You know, but you got to have that outlet. You got to have that outlet somehow in order to deal with this struggle we call life.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, man, I thought we had a great show. As always, I enjoy sitting around with you guys. I especially enjoy when we get us a guest, especially with Insight. And then it was a little different for us because we never had a female perspective on the show, so we appreciate that.
We are open to that now.
We're open to anything.
Okay, it's thoughts of a brother,
right,
but we want everybody to talk to us.
We open. I said anything, but let me rephrase that. We open, but not anything. We open to foolishness, but we open to common sense, knowledge, your point of view, my point of view. I'm open to that. It can be different.
Man, bring on the foolishness, too. If that's what you buy, bring that on, too. We open.
Yeah.
If you're going to be open, be open. Because it's an opportunity to learn for somebody.
You're right.
It could be us.
You're right. You never know.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So come with it.
So then I unphrase that. I just made up my word.
Yeah, you know, that's what we do.
Just made up my word. We had to get one of them. I went through the whole show without making up a word.
Thoughts of a Brother. Hit us up. Facebook.
Yeah.
Thoughts of a Brother. at Thoughts of a Brat on Twitter.
Yeah.
Thoughts of a Brother .blogspot.com. You know, we tend to write sometimes too.
Yeah.
We put blogs out there. Call in number if you ever want to call in with an opinion. 718-664-9983. You can always call in. We open. You know what I mean? We know how to cut you off if you get too far to the left.
Yeah,
we had Gmail also, thoughtsoverbrother@gmail.com,
yeah.
And Google Plus. We're on there too.
Yeah.
So you got ample ways to contact us and get your thoughts in there. Give us some topic suggestions.
Yeah.
We take
yeah.
it off.
We'll definitely put some topics on the air. We want your feedback. We want to engage with you. We're doing this because we feel like we got a message and we hope that it's enlightening. If it's not, that's fine too. That's okay. You know, we're okay with that. With that, boys, we're going to wrap this thing up. Y'all got any closing?
Hey,
great show, man. We'll be here Friday.
Yeah, you know, Friday we're going to give y'all something nice. Well, we'll let you always, it'll be a surprise for you. But it'll be something nice. Boys, always beautiful being here, man. Always beautiful being here. I don't want to close out the show. That's what I'm procrastinating. But I got to do. So it is, man. With that being said, lock your doors, but open your hearts to the Lord. It's hard, but it's fair. One love, JWJ. T-O-A-B.